Nicola Crima, what beautiful lyrics of this song. Thank you very much for inviting me to again be with you and worship with you. And as an editor, I will just first remind you, read your messenger. You can always subscribe and you can get it for free every month. And we are trying to focus on different themes this year. So the first issue, January issue, was about forgiveness. February issue was about prayer, because prayer changes everything. And then the next coming issue, March issue, is about evangelism. So, as I said, this was as an editor. But I pray now that God will guide us by His Holy Spirit, so we can focus and open His Word together, and hopefully leave this place encouraged. It is interesting how, while I was listening to children's story, I was thinking, you see, this is what I'm going to talk about. Sometimes we have dreams. We want to achieve certain things in our lives. But God is the one who gave us a purpose. And He's using every season of our life to shape us for this purpose. So I'm going to mention several different biblical characters. And I'm going to emphasize three lessons that we can apply in our lives. Basically, I'm going to talk about two things, or three. First thing is, like, we are constantly learning. Second thing, it is that we are all leaders. We are leaders in our family, in our homes. We are leaders in our churches. We are leaders in our communities. We should be leaders among our peers. And then what is coming after that is a third thing, as I said, it's we all have God-given purpose. So when we are thinking about learning, there is this word, education. And Ellen G. White was saying that our understanding of the education is very narrow, and that we should actually aim much higher when we talk about education. And she said, our ideas of education take too narrow. True education means more than the pursual of a certain course of study. It means more than a preparation for the life that now is. It has to do with the whole being, and with the whole period of existence possible to man. It is the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers. It prepares the student for the joy of service in this world and for the higher joy of wider service in the world to come. So when we are thinking about education, when we are thinking about learning, it never stops. It's not that, like, we were students once while we were sitting in our classrooms listening to our teachers or professors and then it stopped. No, we are constantly learning until one day we go to heaven. And it is interesting when we talk about Ellen G. White and her book of education. This book was published in 1903. And I'm going to share with you one interesting fact. At that time in America lived a very prominent, influential Serbian professor. He was professor at the New York University. And he read Ellen G. White's book. And how I know that? I know because this book made an impact on him, very strong impact. So he decided to translate this book into Serbian language. So this book was published in Serbian language in 1912. So only a few years after the original publication. So he translated the book into Serbian language, but it is interesting that he cut out one chapter. It was a chapter on Sabbath. He written two shorter chapters on his own to accompany the translation so that he can apply the principles of the book to Serbian context. But the most interesting thing is, like, that he never mentioned Ellen G. White as the author. She's nowhere mentioned. However, I don't see this as a negative thing, even though today this would be highly unethical. Why I don't see it as a negative thing? You see, he was an influential professor in America, and he was one of the prominent reformers of American education. But then he was well known in Serbia as a professor. When he translated and published this book under his name, this book became a key study guide or a book that students at the pedagogy were using for their exam and for their studies. So I have this original translation thanks to my father-in-law, who used to collect first edition of good books. So this is the translation on Serbian language, and it says Biblical Pedagogy. And his name, Paja Pavle Radosavljević, published in 1912. So while he did not mention Ellen G. White, I think in that time in Serbia, nobody would read or maybe consider very important to read a book written by some American woman. But a prominent professor, as I said, it impacted so many academics, so many influential people on those days, and they were using the principles from that book, biblical principles, to teach and to apply in their lives. So this is very amazing. I said that every person is born with a God-given purpose. Yet sometimes this pathway from learning until you are actually walking in your purpose is a winding road. It's never a straight line. Some season looks like preparation, but other season looks like setbacks. And other season looks like good opportunities. But what scripture shows us is that journey from learning to leading is never wasted. It is the very place where God shapes his people. And I mentioned that I will today talk about several different biblical characters. I could have chosen many other characters from history or from the Bible. But I chose these five particular characters because we all know their stories, their life stories. So we don't have to spend too much time talking about their life stories. We just want to learn certain lessons from their lives. So we will start with Moses. And Moses' journey is a classic example of preparation. We know that Moses started at the Egyptian palace. And we know that in Acts 7:22 says Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was powerful in speech and action. However, Moses' calling didn't start at the palace. Moses' calling started in the wilderness. Moses spent 40 years tending sheep. But while he was tending sheep, God was preparing Moses. He was shaping his character so that one day he can shepherd God's people, Israelites. So the wilderness was not wasted time. It was training ground. And God used solitude and shepherding to prepare Moses for his task. We can learn one very important principle. We can say leadership or principles that every Christian actually should apply in their lives, because as I said, we are all leaders. And I'm going to use several quotes for this book, Today's Leader, that it is written by three individuals, two of them from the UK. You probably heard about Pastor Don McFarlane and Pastor David Niels, who is working for the division. And the third guy is Josney Rodriguez. So in this book, you have 50 different characteristics of good Christian leaders, and they all came from different biblical characters. So from Moses, what is the principle that we can learn here? It is very important for us, communion with God. This is the most powerful principle of Christian leadership, and it is the great secret to carrying it out successfully. What does this mean? We know from the verse in Exodus 33:11 that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, like a man speaks with his friend. That is how close Moses was with God. And that is from this relationship, Moses could discern what God wants, what is good advice, where should he go and how he should lead his people. So the first lesson that we can learn is trust God's preparation. Next character with the same lesson, trust God's preparation, is Joseph. And you see, Joseph had dreams of leadership when he was a teenager. But his pathway took a very strange turn. He went through betrayal, prison, slavery, so that he can finally lead a nation. And each of these stages felt probably like a setback. But he was learning things. God was preparing him. He was learning in prison and in Potiphar's house. He was learning administration and how to discern God's will. And it is interesting, when we are reading about Joseph, we will read and on many occasions that the Lord was with Joseph. But not when he was leading the country. I mean, he was with him then. But he was with Joseph in slavery. He was in Joseph while Joseph was in the prison. He was constantly with Joseph. One of the greatest challenges of leaders, but not only leaders, every Christian, everybody who has done anything in their life, is how to survive the betrayal. You see, it is interesting that why betrayal often hurts so much is because we are usually betrayed by somebody who is very close to us. Because if we are betrayed by our enemies, we don't care, because we expect that our enemies will try to hurt us. But when it hurts, is that somebody that we rely on, somebody that we trust betrays, that is very difficult. And Joseph has been betrayed by his own family, his brothers, and then obviously his master, who he faithfully served. However, says the quote here on the screen, it is important to note that how we approach these moments of betrayal and how we respond to them will define the level of impact of our leadership. Because our leadership, our impact as Christian, is not so much about what we do as it is about who we are. And that is what matters. Because we can use words, we can say so many things, but if people don't see those words in our lives, if we don't live by them, everything that we say would not matter. But you see, what kind of leader Joseph was. He was going through these phases of betrayal, slavery, prison, so that he can finally lead, so that he can finally stand before Pharaoh with confidence. But what is crucial is that he didn't think about revenge. And that is what is important for us. Because it is very easy when you are betrayed, it's very easy to try to see if one day I have any power, I will do this or that, and I will show them how smart or how wise or how capable. I'm going to show them my real value. That was not Joseph's attitude. He had heart filled with love, filled with forgiveness. Trust God's preparation. Sometimes it comes through, we need to go through some tough, difficult periods so that our character can be shaped and we can become even stronger. Food for thought. Remember always that waiting season is not wasted season. And always ask, Lord, what are you teaching me in this season that will prepare me for the next one? Because even sometimes in life, when we are going through storms, and once when the storm is finished and we think, wow, good, I survived, bear in mind that the next storm that comes will be stronger. So we are learning from storm to storm to be closer and more dependent on God. And we shouldn't despise small beginnings. Constantly think, this is just the phase of preparation. Next character, Esther. Last time I talked about Esther as well. So we will just mention Esther in the context of positioning. God positioned Esther for influence. She didn't want to be a queen. She didn't want to be there to marry a pagan king. However, that is where she was. And we said last time that what appeared weak at the beginning was followed at the end. And we know that God positioned Esther to be there, but it took courage, trust in God, so that she can have impact. And we know that when Haman wanted to destroy and kill all the Jews, that Mordecai reminded Esther, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We need to recognize God's positioning. And one more character I want to mention when we are talking about God's positioning. So she was in the right place. God put her there. But she needed to be close to God so that he can influence others and impact others. But remember David. So many young boys love the story, my son included, about King David. And what can we say? A shepherd boy, completely insignificant role. But when God positioned this shepherd boy in front of Goliath, at the time when the Israelites needed deliverer, we are reading completely different story. Trust God's positioning, but not only trust, try to recognize why are you there. David's rise reminds us that purpose very often unfolds through opportunities God places in our path, not to striving for status or recognition. Recognize God's positioning. God is very often places us somewhere for a reason. Our workplaces, our schools, universities, communities, they are our mission fields. And instead of asking, why am I here? We should ask, how can I serve God's purpose where he has placed me right now? Because to be fair, sometimes in life we feel, God, what have I done to deserve this? Why am I here even? I can't even understand why I'm here, why I'm going through this. But remember, everything is not always about you. Sometimes you are somewhere in a dark place so you can reach others who are there. So not everything is about us. So try to see, why am I here, God? Talk to him. Well, I always say to people, when you are praying, always share your dreams with God. Even he knows them. Share your dreams. But then what should always follow is, but let it be your will. Let him decide for you. You see, our daughter, she, when last year they closed Dudley House School, our Seventh-day Adventist school, we needed to enroll children in some other school. So it was a Church of England school, and we thought it's a very nice school for our children. Children are not very happy because they are constantly comparing with Seventh-day Adventist school, and this school can't come even close, you know. But even though she was going through this phase, we were praying that she was preparing for the exams for grammar school. And we were praying for her, and we were saying, it doesn't matter if you pass or not, we just want you to go through this experience. It's going to be good for you. And she was working hard, and she passed this exam with very, very high score. And then we were like, yes, this is what God wants. He wants us to enroll her in the best possible secondary school in our area. And while we have some other good schools, this is a top school. It's a grammar school with a long history and tradition. Margaret Thatcher was attending this school when she was a young girl. And we were thinking, this is the place for her. And then even she started getting warmer to the idea, yes, I want this secondary school to enroll. But then I started to think, this is my desire as a parent. Because in the school they told us her score is high, but you don't live in Grantham, which is a tricky thing. With some schools, distance is what matters. And then I said, yes, God, actually, if you want her in that school, she will be. If you think that some other school is better fit for her, then she's going to end up in the other school. Why? Because why we as parents, as I said, we want our children to have certain accomplishments and to achieve something. Academic side is not the most important one. While it matters, her character, development of her character is what matters most to us as parents, as Christian parents. So now we are praying to God, let not be our will or our desires. Put her in the school where she should be. And this is how we should go and think constantly every single situation in our life. God, if I'm here and I don't want to be here, show me why I'm here. Or just think, this is just preparation for the next phase of my life. And the final character that I'm going to mention today is Peter. And from Peter's life, we clearly understand that leadership and Christian life is not about perfection. It's not about being perfect, it's about transformation. Because you see, when Jesus first called Peter, Peter was impulsive, outspoken. He even denied Jesus 3 times because what mattered to him is what other people were thinking, and he was afraid. But then what happened? Jesus said, I love you. Lead my people. Feed my sheep. So we have then from scared shepherd, very bold preacher on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching and so many people decided to follow Jesus. Peter's story shows us, we all love this saying, that God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And transformation is a part of purpose pathway. Sometimes in life we are learning new things, but sometimes in life we have as well to unlearn things that we know or thought that are the best ones. And making mistakes sometimes is the only way to unlearn certain things. I have a quote here by Glenn Lopez, who was writing for the Forbes magazine, and he said, we focus so much time on maximizing our strengths, but not enough time on understanding how and why we fail. Making mistakes is such an important part of the leadership journey. But be responsible to know why things didn't work in your favor and how you could have approached things differently. It is very important. Very important. So I know it's not easy in this fast-paced life and world to stop and reflect, but we are invited to constantly do that, to stop, to pause, to reflect on our life. And it is interesting when we look at Jesus, who is our example and who was the perfect leader, we see how Jesus led his people. He was very generous. His heart was filled with forgiveness and love. Because when we are thinking about Peter, you remember that verse, actually 2 words, written in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 7, when it says, the angel is saying, go tell his disciples and Peter. Why is Peter singled out here? Not because God, Jesus, wanted to rebuke him. No, he wanted to restore him. Tell the disciples and make sure that Peter hears this. I love him. I forgave him. He needs to lead my people. So what we need to do, third lesson, we need to embrace God's transformation. Because we are not finished products. Because God shapes us through our failures and victories as well. So we need to allow God to refine us. Don't let past mistakes disqualify you from future purpose, because mistakes are not the end, but lessons to continue to grow. And we read our scripture reading. Paul says, and I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Paul here writes from prison to people in Philippi. And why is he so confident? Is he confident because Philippines were so special and strong? No. Where his assurance is coming from and encouragement, it's coming from the fact that God is the one who is starting this process in us. He's the one who initiates the process of salvation in us. And he's one who says, but I'm not going to leave you in the middle of the process when you're still unfinished product. I will never leave you because I'm not a quitter. I'm going to be with you the whole time. I'm the author of salvation, but I will help you on the way so that what I started, I'm going to finish. And I'm going to be with you so that you can fulfill your purpose until Jesus comes back to take you home where you belong. So when we put them all together, we can see that Moses learned in obscurity before leading Israel, that Joseph endured trials and prepared him for influence, that Esther was positioned for such a time as this, that David was anointed in private before he was recognized in public, and Peter was transformed from fisherman to fearless preacher. And their stories are showing us God's purpose pathways that are not straight lines. Very often, as I said, we have seasons of learning, waiting, serving, and the season of transformation. And ultimately, we are people that God wants us to be. We are people who are bringing glory to his name. You see, it's interesting. I think that last time I mentioned maybe a sentence or two about my family or my work, but I will mention something else today. Only a few sentences. Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you here the whole day. So, you see, I finished BA in theology in 1999. And BA in theology is 4 years. As soon, it's something here in UK, you have to finish 3 years of BA and then year and a half of master's degree to start working as a pastor. In Serbia, you finish 4 years and you can start immediately. So when I finished my BA in theology, I started to work as an intern in the capital city of Serbia, in the biggest church there. And I was so excited. And I was like, my heart was burning for God. And then a year later, I married. And then I married to a pastor. And sometimes it can be tricky when you have two pastors in the family. But I still continued to work for the church. And I was happy. We came to the UK to do our master's in theology. So we both graduated, and then my husband was called to be a pastor. So he was a pastor, and for many years, I was a pastor's wife. I never actually applied to work as a pastor in this country because I was thinking, who's going to employ two pastors in the family? But I was supporting him in his ministry in all the different districts. But while I was supporting him in his ministry, I have many different jobs. Babysitting, finances for several years for one small company. And then I was working in the social care. And then there were periods when I was saying, God, you can use me better. What I'm doing here, it's a good job, don't get me wrong, but what I'm doing here, use me better because my heart is still burning when I talk to people about you. And I want this work to be 24/7 work. And then I got this call for my current job. And I'm working now 24/7 for God, and I'm so excited and happy. But I do not have regrets. I could now sit and ask and think why this call came after 21 years since we came from Serbia to UK. But I don't do that because I'm grateful for everything I learn on these other jobs. Different skills, getting to know people outside of the church so that I know how can I understand their needs better and how I can serve them better. So this is all important for us. Wherever you are, try to take the best of the situation, to learn as much as you can. And God is shaping you for something that's coming next. And I want to share only a few more extra tips for us as Christians, for us as leaders. Be authentic. That is the first image. Because this first image represents walk the talk. We can't talk to other people about forgiveness if we are not willing to forgive somebody who hurt us. We need to be authentic. We need integrity. We need to give people purpose. We need to involve them. They need to feel that they belong, because that really matters. We need to listen. Learning as well as evangelism starts with listening. Sometimes we want to help people with things that we think they might need. But we need to carefully listen to them first so that we can actually help with their genuine needs. And I think that we should put listening strategy in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, because it is very important to listen. Then it is important to inspire people. It is important to give them freedom to think and grow. So don't always, even with your children, don't come immediately with solutions. Ask them, how would you do that? Let them make mistakes. Let them learn. Celebrate more. Billy Graham, well-known preacher, when he was asked if there is something that he would change in his ministry, when he now looks back, what that would be. And he said, I would spend a little bit more time with my family. I would read much more. I would preach less. And I would celebrate more. We need to remember good periods of our life and celebrate them. Because these are reminders how God is blessing us. And then we always should focus on the next step, on the future. Don't be stuck in the present. Always think what's coming next. And the final one is stay relevant. This is a very important thing, because sometimes parents are trying to teach their children exact same way how their parents were teaching them. But it doesn't work, because that world doesn't exist anymore. We need to apply the same biblical principles, the same values, but how we apply them is different now. So we need to stay relevant, and we need to recognize the current needs of our children, of people around us. And this is very important. And to illustrate this point even further, I want to share one story with you. It is a story about the bridge the people call today the Bridge to Nowhere. What is interesting about this bridge? It's built in Honduras in 1998, and it's called Choluteca Bridge because it was going over Choluteca River. And what happened is like that when they were building the bridge, they said, we want strong structure. We want the bridge that when the natural catastrophe comes, it's going to stay strong. It's not going to fall apart. It's not going to go to ruins. And they took some time, money invested, and they built a good, strong bridge. And then only a few months after the bridge was finished, Hurricane Mitch, one of the deadliest and strongest storms in that region, happened. And what happened to the bridge? It stood strong. It was perfectly intact. But what happened is outcome or aftermath of the storm, the river shifted. So now on this image, you can see that you have bridge perfectly intact, covering dry land, and the river is passing next to it. So while it was perfectly intact and strong, use of this bridge, it's useless now. The reason why the bridge was built, purpose, it's not there anymore. So this is a message for us, a metaphor. Remember this bridge. We constantly need to ask, are we relevant today? Are we just like Choluteca Bridge, or what we are doing in our life makes sense to our children, to our friends, to people around us? Because we need to ensure to remain relevant, and God can help us in that. Because this world, circumstances in our lives, they are constantly shifting and changing like this river. And we need to be quick to adapt. Again, don't be afraid. We are not adapting. We are not changing biblical principles. We are just the application of those principles is what is changing. And we are constantly saying that we need to be resilient. But being resilient is not just being strong. It's be ready to adapt when change is needed. So our journey from learning to leading is going to be unique. Nobody is going to go through life on the way that you are doing it. But you can be sure of these things. God is intentional. The detours in your life are preparation. The positions are God's providence. And transformation is His promise. So remember these three lessons today. Trust God's preparation because waiting is not wasted time. Recognize God's positioning and remember that you are where you are for a reason. Sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it is about somebody else that needs your guidance and your help. Embrace God's transformation. Your past does not disqualify you. Our strength is not only in what we know, but the type of people that we are becoming. I want to share one more verse before we finish this sermon. And it is written in Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. We need to rely on God fully, to trust Him. We need to step into our season with faith, and we need to continue constantly to grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We need to trust His preparation. We need to embrace and recognize His positioning, and we need to allow His transformation so that He can shape us in leaders, in Christian He's called us to be for His purpose. Amen.